We take you now to episode 227B, the conversation already in progress with Aaron Delaney, Aaron Green, Aaron Flores, and some other guy.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, and is can I take the rogue? Is that the...
Yeah.
Yes, that's yours.
Most definitely.
I guess we have session as well if you want that.
Cool. We can...
It's warm and almost right. A year old.
Rochambeau.
It can't be almost a year old. It was in, like, November.
Yeah, Delaney's facts are sometimes a little skewed.
But who knows when it was bottled.
You can put that at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. All right, here comes this one.
My headphones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm back.
All right, then.
It wasn't last episode because you were manning the board last episode, two episodes ago. I don't know why that was funny either.
How much of that session have you had?
Enjoy by February 16th, 2015.
Oh, really? So we're drinking old
beer.
I'm drinking.
You can drink it, just don't enjoy it, okay? It says enjoy by that.
That's right. Tolerate it.
I might not enjoy this. Sorry.
Do your best.
You will not enjoy this.
I went to open a bottle. Someone had installed the bottle opener.
Next to me.
I went to open the bottle on it.
You were here.
Yeah. And it pulled right out of the drywall.
I pried the bottle opener out of the out of the wall.
And I'm the one who pointed it out to you. He's like, oh, why did you use that bottle opener over there? He's like, oh, yeah.
Whoops.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sprocket Podcast. This is episode 2 of a two-part series in which we tell you things about stuff.
Previously on the Sprocket Podcast.
Okay, I'm going to cut things in there.
Carl!
Get in the house, Carl!
Glenn!
Oh, Herschel's dead.
That's right.
I think I just got there.
Spoilers,
long. Is that too soon? Is that a long time ago?
Always too soon. A lot of people haven't seen it.
Right. So if you haven't been following The Walking Dead, just forget about all that. They're still at the farm. So, Aaron Delaney, tell us a little bit about your life here, because you also moved here to Portland sometime fairly recently, right?
Yes, I actually, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, are your headphones out again?
Your headphones not working again?
Got it now?
I think I just sound weird to myself.
We all do.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, did I tell you the microphone adds like 2 octaves?
Yes, you tweeted at me. Yeah.
Okay. Like the camera adding pound is like whenever you hear your voice through a microphone, it always sounds lower and deeper and richer than it would otherwise.
I sound like a prepubescent boy.
No, you don't.
You sound great.
Oh, thank you. Oh, gosh, guys. Okay, so I moved here.
Yeah.
I moved to Portland back in February 14th, 2014.
Okay, so it's just past your Portland anniversary.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
I like to say,
I'll cheers you
from afar because I'm way over here. Oh, well, thank you. Well, that's so nice of you. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Flores, you also have a Portland anniversary that you celebrate and observe every year.
That is correct.
Yeah.
When is it?
Well, I don't celebrate the exact day, but I celebrate it on Labor Day because it was Labor Day the day I arrived in Portland.
Yeah, mine was Valentine's. It was kind of romantic, actually. It was really wet. It was pouring like crazy. A week before, there was a snowstorm or whatever.
Okay.
And we totally missed it. Yeah.
Now, that was definitely a snowstorm. That was where there was ice on the ground for like 5 days.
It was
cold. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was the most intense
I drove
winter.
With you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when we got in. Snow everywhere.
So I moved here last year, and Aaron came with me. I mean, he didn't move here at that time. And also
3 months later,
one of my other best friends, Kat. And actually, it's actually a really interesting thing to me is that in the process of moving, one of my friends had invited me to move here, and I had decided, yes, I'm going to move here.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to get rid of enough stuff to fit in my white Honda Civic, right? It's like, okay, do that. Right?
Like, I'm just going to pare down until I get to that point.
Exactly, and fit everything
into my trunk.
This is
a smaller Civic, too. This is like a 1997.
Yeah.
Like it's like smaller.
Yeah.
Not like today.
Not like today's Civics.
Today's Civics are bigger.
That's right.
They are. They're a little rounder on the sides, too. It's kind of, you know, ladies. So, but here's the thing. Before I left, before I had planned my trip out, and I told Aaron, hey, you know, I'm moving to Portland. And he goes, great. I'm coming with you, right? And I go, no, you're not moving to Portland, but you're coming on me with the ride on the ride. And he's like, yeah. And I go, I guess I'm going to have to get rid of a few more things.
Because you were factoring in that passenger side
yes.
seat. Yes.
For food, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then a week later, I told, you know, my other friends, and Kat says, can I come? And I go, of course you can come. So I got rid of more
things. So you pared down even more stuff.
Yeah.
So finally, what were you left owning by the time that you made it up here finally?
By the time I made it up here, I owned clothes, a few clothes.
Okay.
And a scanner, of course, my film stuff, my what do you call them? Oh, cameras.
Right,
yes,
right.
Cameras, my art supplies and whatever. And I was just like, I was really content with that. But it was really interesting because it was almost kind of like a direct metaphor for where Portland has taken me so far.
Ah, okay.
In the sense of...
It's caused you to lose all your possessions?
Actually,
kind of,
yes.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Yeah, tell that story.
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Wait. So...
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's kind of like a direct metaphor. So... I let go of a bunch of stuff so that my friends could come with me on this journey to move to Portland. And at the end of the day, you know, I let go of some of my literal baggage in order to be loved and cared for by my friends, you know? Like, sometimes I think that we need to let go of certain things. And it's funny, too, is that there are a lot of things that we think that are really important, but then we face that value with a particular relationship that we have. And
like, what's more important, the person that sits in this seat or the stuff that used to be in this seat?
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. And that for me was the car.
And like when you got there, the memory of having had that friend come with you was better than having that box of books or something like that.
Yeah. And it was crazy too. We did it in 2 days. Yeah.
Well, that's impressive. I am glad that you made it here, number one. And I'm glad that it was an experience where you got to get rid of some things. Because like there are so few places in life today where you are required to say, I must let this go or I must get rid of this. And when those do come around, they're like not great. It's like, you know, like I got kicked out of where I was living. And so I just had to leave it on the curb and, you know, I escaped with this satchel. Or something. So
not very often you get to do it by choice.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is great. This is a good idea.
And I got to admit, there's a part of me that, as you're telling the story, is kind of like, well, you could have just shipped some of this.
That's true. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I would go too.
Right. Right. But I think it's. I don't know. There's something really freeing about just kind of letting that stuff go as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I feel light as much stuff as I own now. Most of my baggage actually in life is actually literal.
That's good. I mean, it's better than the alternative, right?
I know, right?
So what are your impressions of Portland? So having lived here a year, Portland is a bikey town and a town that you live in, work in, and play in. What are your impressions compared to where you came from?
Portland is actually pretty damn friendly. In fact, when I moved here initially, I was thinking to myself, I can get a really fresh start, you know, guys. Like, I don't have to walk down the street and be stopped a few times, you know, or like run into people that I know, right? And Portland, for me, and I don't know what it is, but I started to get to know a lot of people within the first 3 or 4 months, and I started running into people over and over again. I actually switched coffee shops, you know.
Like, just to vary your experience.
Yeah, yeah. And the coffee shop that I had chosen initially, people didn't talk there.
Right.
Yeah, so it was...
Wait, can we say which one that was?
Let's not.
Okay.
Because that way, if people see me there, like, what the fuck are you doing here, you motherfucker? Yeah.
You said people didn't talk here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have an idea of a coffee shop where people don't talk to each other.
Is it the coffee shop we met at?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
That's the one you switched to.
By that time.
That is the the better of the
two. Yeah, by that time.
It's my favorite one on that street, by the way.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Yeah, me too.
This
me
is
too.
So that compelling.
Ominous coffee shop.
By that time, I accepted everything, yeah. Like, I've met and adventured with so many different people around here in Portland. It's been kind of ridiculous. Yeah. So, really friendly city, really bike friendly. Actually, even the grid is kind of simple. I get lost all the time.
Okay.
In fact, I have a A-side, sorry. So, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, confession time with Aaron Delaney.
All right, then.
Okay.
That's my son.
So, I decide to ride the train. And that's not the confession.
I was going to say,
that's a good confession.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Okay, Max train?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So I get on the Green Line, and shortly after, this guy and this woman, they sit down, and the guy's looking at my bike, right? And I drive a long-haul trucker, not a real truck, but actually the bike, made by Surly Bikes.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
which, side note, real quick, we discovered
all
that.
All three of us.
All three Aarons in this room own a different version of the long-haul trucker.
That is true.
Aaron's cubed.
Uh-huh.
That's
squared? Cubed. Or, what is it?
Cubed.
Squared twice.
Yeah.
It's cubed.
Anyway, so he's looking at my trucker and he asks me, is that your trucker? And I'm wearing a helmet. I go, yes. Were you thinking about getting one? And so, of course, like Surly Talk comes up, and like touring talk, and yeah. So we're talking, and then his wife says, oh, honey, I think our SOP is coming up soon. And I go, well, where are you guys headed?
This is typical Aaron Delaney.
Yeah. As in
I know
like,
where this story is going.
As in like, maybe I'll join you.
Yes.
Yeah, no, actually. Oh. No, not this time because I have work in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. So they tell me, oh, we're headed towards Gresham, right? And I go.
On the Green Line?
So, yeah. So.
Way out east.
Yeah. They're gonna transfer. So okay. I tell them, hey, you're on the wrong train.
Yeah.
And you're on the Green Line, and that doesn't take you to Gresham. That takes you to Clackamas, right? And so I tell him, you know what? Over here at Gateway, get off and then get on the Blue Line, and it'll take you straight into Gresham. You guys are going to be awesome, you know? Like, you guys are going to have a great night, and you're going to get to where you need to go at the right time. And, you know, unicorn and
unicorns
and rainbows.
We'll be prancing
and,
upon your departure from the train.
Sparkles and stuff.
Yeah. It's a magical place.
Yeah.
Gresham.
So they're like, hey, it was really great meeting Aaron. I was like, nice to meet you guys, blah, 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 blah. All right. Have a good one, right? So they start walking over. And so I'm on the train. And for some reason, it doesn't turn where I was expecting it to turn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I.
Your train.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I realize I was on the fucking Blue Line.
You were not
I was on the Blue Line. I was on the Blue Line.
So and you were directing them to change trains so they would be on the proper one. So thusly, both of you were on
man,
the incorrect
that is
train.
Hilarious.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but your intentions were good.
They were.
They were.
You were trying to help them.
They had to have realized, like, wait a minute. That's the blue.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But I know that they got on the right train afterward because next stop over, I got off the train and I go, I'm such a fucking idiot. Right? And so I'm standing there.
Not entirely true.
Not true at all.
Not entirely
true.
Don't
be too hard on yourself.
I'm good at a lot of other things, though.
Yes,
but with directions, I'm terrible.
Okay, so.
So I'm standing there.
Are you also colorblind, maybe?
No, not colorblind.
Oh, okay.
I really thought that I was on the Green Line. Anyway, so I'm standing there waiting for the next train, going what?
Going the other direction.
Yeah. I mean, I had to get back to Gateway and then get on the Green Line. So waiting for a train, and then I see a Blue Line train come, right? And in one of the seats is the couple.
Okay. Did you guys make eye contact?
No. I just averted my eyes. I was like, sorry, dudes.
He met really well.
Yeah, I didn't read well. I hope they thought it was a funny story too. So.
I've always had when I used to ride the Green Line all the time. Every ride I took, there would be someone on that Green Line train that proceeded south towards Clackamas that said, "Oh shit, I meant to go to Gresham on the Blue Line." So it happens a lot.
Common mistake.
Yeah, I don't feel too bad about it.
I'm pretty sure it's Trimit's fault.
Let's blame them. Let's throw them under the bus.
Womp, womp.
Or under the train.
Not to vilify Trimit, but there were times where I could swear I was getting on the right color train. Or I would see a train go by and they were like the scroll or whatever from blue to green to whatever line train it's supposed to be on is like kind of halfway between one color and another.
So it's a 50% chance. Right. It might be red. It might be blue.
Well, I know it can't be on the yellow line.
Let's call this Trimet Roulette.
There we go.
Right.
That could be a fun game.
That could be a fun game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Step on the first train that comes.
Yep.
See where it takes you.
Blindly adventure around town all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always wondered, like, those guys – this is going off topic kind of, but I've always wondered about those guys, the transit security that step on. They're not the cops that write the tickets. They're just the people in, like, the neon suits that are there to make sure that everything, you know, goes well.
Oh, they don't write the tickets?
As far as I know, they're just security. They take notes about what's going on.
They don't check for your –
And they call for authorities if problems happen or something like that. But I've always wondered, like, do they have, like – established routes. They say like, oh, so we're going to go out to like Rockwood and you know, like 179th or whatever. And then we're going to get on the opposite train and go back that way. Then we're going to get on a yellow train and go like up into North Portland. And then after that, we go out to Hillsborough. I don't know. I'm not sure what their work day is like, but I've always been kind of curious about that because you assume if it's their job to ride the train, they started somewhere and they have to get back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sort of like a pilot or something like that.
Right, right.
Fly one place, you got to fly back.
So are there security deadheads? Like, do they just like, are there times when they're riding but they're not working?
Oh, I would assume so.
Do they take their brakes on the train?
I mean, like, that it works that way on the bus.
There's more questions here than answers. I mean,
true. Yeah. That's a whole can of worms. Yeah. I don't mean to open that now.
We need to get Dr. Jeff and a TriMet security.
Yeah, we do. On. Seriously.
Get those two bantering back and forth.
Well, my assumption is that whoever works as TriMet security would need Dr. Jeff to lighten them up a little bit.
There you go.
So, yeah, we'll put that call out there into the universe, and maybe someday that'll happen. I was going to introduce the visitor bike because this is something that, Delaney, you have, and it's the best idea ever.
It's a great idea.
Okay, so
and it's a great bike. Yeah, that ain't nice just some second bike there.
Well, okay, so here's what happened.
Uh oh,
there's always a story.
Confession time, Baron Delaney.
Yes, my son.
So Father Green.
So I went on Craigslist and I found a bike, and this was right before I went back to California for. Somebody's wedding. One of my best friends is getting married every year as I'm looking at her right now.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
What are you
happens.
Looking at me for?
I don't know. Anyway, so.
Your time is coming.
So I buy this bike and I get back home and I'm starting to fix it. And at the time, I was utterly in love with this woman. I had met her at a bar. And by bar, I mean the bar. I mean, the church that I went to, I mean, that I go to, meets up at a bar. Well, used to meet up at a bar.
That sounds like a good church.
It sounds like a great church. But the thing is that you can't buy beer during the service because they're not open yet.
Oh, so that does change things a bit.
But the couple times I went with you, we were sure to get a pint right after church.
Okay.
I might have problems. Anyway.
So anyways...
You're not supposed to drink out of the consecrated wine? Oops. Okay. So I was really – I really wanted to take her on a date. Not just a date.
A special date.
A bicycle date?
A bunch of dates.
Okay.
A bunch of dates.
A whole string of them.
All of the dates.
I even set up a budget.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's way to go.
So this whole thing was going on. Around the time I had bought this bike and I had decided, you know what? I want to make a bike for people who visit me to ride, right?
So, friends from out of town.
Yeah, friends from out of town because a lot of my other friends are from California. among other places. So I go, okay, I need to buy a frame that's not too small, not too big, and it needs to be able to stow stuff, but at the same time, it doesn't require panniers. So I was like, okay, let's get on the market. What do people do? And I noticed this kind of trend, like you can actually get a specialized rock hopper, a stomp jumper for $80 to $150,
and oh, yeah,
it's
nice.
Like really great setup and stuff. I had managed to find a Bridgestone RB2.
It's a classic frame.
Yeah, 1987, amazing lugs, just a solid frame, you know. And steel is real. Right?
It is.
Steel is real. Yeah. And so I started working on this bike, and I was already speccing it out, and things didn't really turn out really that great with this woman that I love. And so I had decided, you know, let's use the dating budget on the visitor, because how ominous is the visitor.
Right,
you don't
right.
know if she's going to take off and leave with her truck and your dog, you know?
You never know.
When did this become a country song?
Aaron's working on his country music career now.
You don't know when the visitor is coming or going, or whether or not you guys are going to stay friends.
Yes.
So I built up this bike. Most every part of it is adjustable for different heights and different lengths of arms and torsos and whatever.
You pointed at me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big dude.
Yeah, you're a long dude.
That's what they say. So it's apparently like this bike is adjustable for many different sizes of people.
So like the seat post, for example, is like a little bit longer than a normal seat post or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a quick release seat post.
It's a quick release, which is it's actually pretty awful because I have a brook saddle on it.
Oh,
yeah.
So you have to lock that.
So you just cable
time.
It.
Yeah, I cable it to my double lock. So I do double U locks.
Ooh, I've been doing that recently.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not tonight, but recently.
Yeah. So I'm riding the visitor.
Oh, you are
tonight. I mean, I've been riding it for the past 3-4 days now.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, but I will have to get I'm getting a new wheel set. There's still work to be done, but I think it's a great idea for anyone who has a lot of friends coming into town, or if they just want to rent their bike out.
Right. Spinlister, for example. You know, let's talk Spinlister. About this right now, because actually we have this $10 Spinlister gift card. And if you haven't heard of Spinlister.com, this is we're not being paid to talk about them or anything. This is just a business that we know of, kind of like the Airbnb of bikes, where you need a bike, you rent one, and you ride it around.
Didn't you get, Aaron, didn't you get a fat bike from there?
Floors. No. Not from Spinlister.
I
rented a fat bike from Ride Your Bike. Because Nathan Jones of Ride Your Bike was working on my bike for a day or so. And so I said, hey, you rent fat bikes. How about while I'm giving you money to work on my bike, I will give you more money to ride this other bike.
And that's where they get you. Yeah. No, well, that's a great idea.
It was a win-win for everybody.
Seriously. Yeah. And you got rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
So Spinlister.
But anyway, Spinlister.
I'm just saying, we have this $10 gift card that someone left behind a couple of shows ago. And I would like to offer this. We need to find a way to give this away. But anyone who is going to rent a bike soon using Spinlister.com, we've got this gift card. So let's say, what is the time that you most needed a bike and did not have one? Send us your stories. Best story gets this $10 gift card.
I like this.
All right.
Dreams don't count.
That
dreams
is true.
Don't count.
That is true. It has to be a real
you
world
must
situation.
With dream or not dream.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, you've got the visitor, and it, whenever the work is done, it'll be available on Spinlister as well.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
No,
it's not a bad idea, though.
I know, but it's one of those, it's literally a labor of love.
I see.
Yeah.
So you're not just going to sell your life.
Money was going and where the, I mean, it's a.
You're not a bicycle prostitute.
No.
And neither is the visitor.
Yeah. So the visitor isn't a horror that I know of.
That we know.
So the concept is that you want to have a bike available anytime a friend happens to pop in.
Yeah.
You want to be able to have a bike for them to ride that's custom or adjustable to their size and easy to use.
Yeah. I got that thing powder coated. I got
it's beautiful, like metallic blue with some orange trim on it. Yeah.
Man, if I powder coated a frame, I would not just rent that out to anybody either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that's a good point.
Yeah. Like you say, labor of love. Yeah. So you got to be a friend of Aaron Delaney.
Or a friend of a friend.
Okay.
Or somebody that I just met off the street.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not exactly a hard thing to do. Delaney,
he makes friends
always
wherever
meets
he goes.
People.
Case in point.
Right. I mean, we're all here. So that's part of it. Yeah. Excellent. So what else? What else have you got going that that is exciting to you at this moment?
At this moment, I am thinking about doing something on the weekend within the next, actually in about 4 weeks.
Okay.
When it's a little warmer.
Okay.
I think kind of following along the lines of what Pathless Pedal is doing.
Oh, like an off-road sort of thing?
Oh, no, they're doing off-road, but tour once a month.
Yeah. Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Just trying to get out there.
Yeah. 50 miles.
So like a weekend ride or something?
Weekend ride kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And be a weekend warrior. You know, I've always wanted to be a weekend warrior.
Well, if you have a steady job, sometimes your only choice is to go out when you have the free time, which I guess it de facto makes you a weekend warrior.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have to have a bad connotation. That's what I am.
It used to not have a bad connotation. It
true.
Used to, like, mean... like
something good.
You got a steady job, but you're still living it, you know? No, for real.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like this.
Confession time?
Yes, my son.
Father Green.
So last year when I worked freelance here in Portland, so I made my own hours, right? And I had just gotten a bike.
How many minutes were they?
What?
The hours that you made?
A lot.
Sorry.
So here's the thing. I would work at a coffee shop on my computer for, you know, like 4 8 hours, whatever, right? And then after that, I would head down to Lad's Edition, you know, Lad Circle. And I just go make rounds over there. Just,
like in circles around this roundabout?
Uh-huh, yeah, just circles. And I'd just wait for the – so here's the confession. I'd wait for all the people getting off of work.
And then just join them?
And then join them.
So you could feel like you were a true – like working.
No, that's not true. Okay. No. Yeah. It's those dudes. It's those dudes who race everyone.
Oh, okay. We're talking about like the world's fastest commuters in Portland.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I'd wait for the world's fastest commuters in Portland.
And then did you fall in line?
You would just race them then?
Or? I would drop back and wait till we got on Clinton. Once we got on Clinton, I just show them who's boss, really.
Okay, so you're saying you were fishing for competition in Lad Circle.
Yeah.
Did you return to Lad Circle multiple times to pick various
commuters? Were you, like, hustling?
There were some days.
Hey, man, I'll race you to top Clinton.
Yeah, seriously. It was either I would turn back or go to... Oh.
Or both.
Maybe we should beep that out.
hang on.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah. So either I go back around, or go straight up
just
there.
Just go home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was doing some justice because other people, like, I never cut off anyone.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was like the ethical.
Okay.
Commute racer dude.
You right. had scruples on
but
your yeah. cycle.
But from what I understand, though, it's not as though you were trying to be like a commute racer. You were trying to race the commuter racer guys.
Yes.
So you had to find a mark.
It was a little meta. It was like meta racing. They were racing normal people.
It's irony, really.
Yeah. And I was racing them.
It's the hipster of racing.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any more underground and undiscovered when your opponent doesn't
when
realize
no
they're being
you're
raced.
Well,
this is a great
just
idea.
How I dropped that guy? He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know, man. He doesn't know. Yeah. Oh. So I'm an idiot. Yeah.
But that's the best kind, man. Yeah. That's fantastic. I love this.
Because I don't want him to know that I'm racing him. Because if he knows, he's going to chase after me.
And
that's happened
on.
A few times. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually. So it actually just
he's
happened.
He's going to chase after
oh,
me.
Oh man! It just happened a few. Wait, were you there? No, you were there.
So, was I?
No, I was no, not none there. Of you guys.
Oh, okay.
I can definitely say I was not there.
Yeah. So last Friday, I rode.
Oh wait,
from,
maybe I was.
No, you were there.
Just messing.
Last Friday, I rode from Northwest Portland to the place that I go to in 20 minutes, right? I may have tweeted this. I should probably delete that.
Oh, don't worry about it.
So it took me 20 minutes to get there, right? And I
– It usually takes much longer.
Yeah, it usually takes me maybe 30, 35 minutes.
Okay, so you shaved like 15 minutes perhaps off of your
10
time.
10 to 15 minutes, yeah. And I was booking it.
Uh-huh.
It was ridiculous. By the time I got there, I thought to myself, man, I really need to stop smoking.
So you're a hero commuter. You're one that do you use ride tracking devices? Like, do you have Strava or Map My Ride or what have you?
No. Okay. Here's the thing. Here's my take on the GPS stuff.
Uh-huh.
Cool. But I like to think that the distance that I go doesn't dictate how much fun I have.
Ah, that's a good idea.
Right?
Yeah. Or like if it's like pictures or it didn't happen sort of thing. Like, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Because like the more you think about, oh, I'm going to make this into a virtual world thing, the less of the real world experience you have perhaps.
Yeah. And there are moments where I go really fast like that on my 40 plus pound long haul trucker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, if I only had proof.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, that's also me, you know, that's the part of me that waits at Lad's Edition racing for people. That's the douchey me going out and being a douchebag, trying to do douchebag justice.
Do you think that's true?
I think it's douchey. Like when somebody cuts me off, he goes, oh, you're going too slow on your left, bitch. You know,
which is not what they say necessarily, but is that how it feels?
That's how it feels. Because
that's sometimes how it feels.
It's sort of what you narrate them saying in your head. Yeah.
Okay.
When they say,
I'm better than you.
Right.
I have often said, the minute I start competing on my bike.
Oh, we talked about
I've ruined the bike for myself.
Ooh.
Really? That's a good point.
However, I do get a little competitive on my bike.
Me too.
But I mean, like actually, like racing or whatever, and I would include Strava or Map My Ride in that. I have Map My Ride. I don't know if I've ever actually figured out how to use
company.
It.
Map My Ride is a Portland-based company.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
All right,
local.
But anyway, like once I start like comparing, and it's been a problem on bike tours with you guys.
Oh yeah. Once I start against me.
Well, not necessarily racing, but like comparing like how I'm doing to other people. Yeah. Like it ruins the experience for me. Like I'm no longer just enjoying the ride for the ride itself.
Yeah.
That's totally how I am on tours. In fact, that tour I mentioned earlier where Delaney and I rode to Mount Hood and then came down around Hood River. Like I'm just the type, for some reason, I start on a tour, like I'm tracking miles, I need to get from one place to the next, and I get really focused on it, and I don't know why, but when I tour with Delaney, it's just like this A and B experience, where like I look back and Delaney is kind of just looking around or giggling to himself, and it makes the tour into something. Like I learned something in that moment where I'm like, oh yeah, like why am I even stressing out?
Yeah,
like I am just causing myself more torment.
Yeah,
by like making it so that I have to be at a certain point at a certain time, and that's one reason why I like riding bikes with Delaney is that there's always something odd or whatever that you wouldn't think of ordinarily about a bike trip or ride.
Yeah, it was actually really interesting too because when we rode up Mount Hood. The next day we rode up to a government camp, right?
Yeah.
And I did a video for my dad because it's his birthday and stuff, whatever. And then I get, we ride up.
You're welcome, Dad.
Yeah. We ride up these three hills, three deceiving hills that are like, oh, I'm on the crest, you know?
Like Summit 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
it's like,
okay.
You know, you become,
on the way to Silverton.
Yeah. Right? So we get up the third one, and it's just a 42-mile drop to Hood River, which is where we were headed, right? And
I don't know if it was 42 miles, but it was a long
descent.
That is a lovely ride.
It was like hours of not pedaling.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. We actually he and I looked at each other and we were not having fun at all. Like, at first we were like, oh, we're going so fast, man. Oh, dude, totally. Yeah.
Wait, were you surfing too?
Just like that.
No, it was
quite like that. It was like riding with no hands, enjoying the orchards. There was like paragliders going overhead, you know, just like weekend drivers type thing. Yeah. And it was beautiful. It just lasted so long.
There was a point in that ride actually where I wasn't moving. And shortly after that, Aaron and I looked at each other and he goes, Aaron Green, that is, not Aaron Delaney. I'm not talking about myself in third person. Aaron Green says, hey, man, you want to pull over? And I go, yeah, because I really need to pee.
There we go. It's usually the best reason to stop.
So we drop off and, you know, did I make coffee? No, I didn't make coffee.
Oh, yeah. Delaney, by the way, you should talk about coffee outside.
Oh, yes. Let's talk. Hey, that's
what the f-
we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
That was a train. Yeah. Wait, do we wrap up the other one?
Because
coffee outside, that was one thing we need to talk about. But
this descent.
We pulled over.
We actually talked about we talked about how we weren't enjoying that descent.
Ah, yes.
Because it was just so long.
It's like you needed some challenge.
Yeah, and we couldn't. No, it's not the challenge, actually. We just couldn't see anything. We were going so fast.
Oh, I see.
You know, the world.
You needed some breaks.
Exactly. You know, the world becomes such a bigger place when you're walking, when you're going slow.
Or when you're taking the time to do it slowly and more reflectively, maybe.
You experience.
Which ties into the whole commuter thing.
Yeah.
And going really fast and all that stuff.
And when you're in a car concealed and going 50 miles an hour on a bike, things change.
Right.
Definitely.
I'm trying to remember if it was a guest that we just talked to or somebody else I had a conversation with, but the idea that like if you go faster than 15 miles an hour, you start losing touch with your surroundings. And I can't remember. Huh. It sounds like an interesting principle.
It really makes sense.
Yeah. So it wasn't on a show then?
Not that I remember.
Okay. But just the idea that, like if you take it slowly, you're going to see a lot more. You're going to feel like you went places. Yeah. If you go faster than that, you're going everywhere and you're nowhere at the same time. So coffee outside. You're a fan.
So I found this. So Instagram. A lot of people are on it.
What is this?
Instagram?
Yeah. It's a thing?
So Grandpa.
He's screwing with
it. So Instagram is an application that people use to share their photos.
It's like, these photos are too nice. Let's make them a little shittier.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's all.
You know, that's all right.
#nofilter.
You don't have to use filters. Why do people use filters? I don't understand this.
I think it's a dying thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways.
And you know what? #nofilter is actually really popular too.
That's right.
I don't know if you know that, but...
He's talking about the more you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
NBC, but they never sing it.
But you learned about coffee outside through Instagram.
Right. I scoffed at it.
Yeah.
I was like, this shit is so fucking hilarious. They're not even camping. These motherfuckers are taking out their bikes. They're riding maybe like 10 miles or more or less. I don't know. And then they're making coffee outside and they're just like looking out to the sunset doing selfies and shit. No, they're not doing selfies.
Sunrise.
Yes, sorry.
Or sunset. Depends on how you roll.
I guess so.
I roll late.
I was going to say, just Delaney, it's sunset.
Yes.
So
I was thinking more of the Sunrise Coffee Club.
There's also one in LA.
Oh, really?
Nice.
#coffee outside.
There we go.
Anyway,
not as dumb as you thought.
Yeah, well, so I'm a man of many ironies. So I tell Aaron, hey, so one of our friends is coming in town. It's like months and months ago, right? He's coming in town, and I go, oh, cool. And Aaron says, hey, we're planning on doing a ride through Powell Butte or whatever, right?
Yeah. To Powell Butte and down the other side.
I was like, I didn't even listen to him. I just go, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, but you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna bring some coffee and my stove and make some coffee outside.
We'll make some #coffee outside.
Yeah, #coffee outside. And we did it. And I was just like laughing. This is so stupid. But after that, I started doing copy on time regularly.
Okay. Yeah. And to all the folks we've spoken, like the Kellys and Chris Chen and Sean Grant and other people that like coffee outside, it is actually kind of enjoyable.
It's fun.
It really is. It's kind of fun.
I want to do it someday.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it camping, but I haven't done it like just
intentionally
outside in the city.
Well,
in everyday life.
At the end of that first day on that bike tour we took up to Mount Hood, we like hung out. We got like breakfast or something, and then we like rode to the top, the highest point on the whole trip, and we decided that that was where we were going to make coffee outside.
There we go.
So, you know, sort of like a ceremony, we did. Yeah. We did coffee outside.
Beautiful.
It takes so much time to like grind beans, you know?
Well, it's a ritual.
Yeah, it is.
And a sacrament.
I'm kidding. No, 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 no more confession.
Right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share about your lifestyle? How could people find you? Are there projects you'd like to promote?
No projects that I'd like to promote except Aaron Green's project.
Okay. Are you talking about WeWereLikeSons.com?
That one. Yes.
Okay.
I'm kidding. No.
Which Aaron Delaney built the website for.
Well,
I'm
working on
the website.
Okay. So this is
a lot of hours.
Yeah, it's one of your projects.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
He's a very talented front end designer.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't actually know the terminology.
Actually, for a while, Aaron didn't know what I did at all.
I didn't understand it.
Delaney make web.
That's precisely
make look
what
pretty.
It is.
Yeah.
I make internet things.
Internet.com, right?
That's it. So thank you, Aaron Delaney, for telling us a bit about your lifestyle here in Portland. We appreciate you being here and being you because you are awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And of course, Aaron Green, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks
you guys have some time
on.
To stick around for our mail and whatnot.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's check this out because we have shit tons of mail from what
Sweet.
I understand.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Okay, wait 1 second. I always think that it's Aaron Flores singing that song.
That is Aaron Flores
oh
singing
my God.
That song.
Is it really?
Yes.
All right, let's just, for our enjoyment,
oh,
since you didn't know that, let's do this again.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
No way.
It's that good.
Music by Brock Dittus.
Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. Where'd you get the spinner? Just kidding.
Oh, so first of all, we got our new donor, Christy, and new donor, Caleb, that just joined up. We really appreciate you folks, everyone who's helping us pay the bills at this little studio.
Thank you so much.
Buy some drinks and pay for some web hosting and that sort of thing. The only reason we do this is because you help us do it. Otherwise, we'd be done a long time ago. So all of you are great. Thank you so much.
Next up, Matt sends in the saga of a motorcycle cop and a man on a beach cruiser.
Yeah, this is one of those. It's my friend Matt who loves like political things, and he actually is a big fan of the border check refusal videos.
Oh,
People talking about driving up to some sort of border checkpoint and like refusing to answer questions and the whole am I free to go and that whole thing. This reminded me a bit of that because it's somewhere I want to say it's Venice Beach. And a guy ended up recording his interaction with a motorcycle cop who was on a bike path and was giving him a ticket for unsafely operating his beach cruiser. And it goes on for like 20 minutes or something like that. And there's passersby stopping by and saying like, you know, what's wrong? Well, he's giving me a ticket for riding on a bike path.
On a bike path with his beach cruiser bicycle.
Yes.
Which the motorcycle cop was on the bike path to bust this
ostensibly so, yes. Anyone operating unsafely. And apparently he was parked on the bike path.
It's like when I see those collections of like ATVs, police ATVs on the 205 trail.
Oh, right. Like the park rangers going up and down and
totally
busting people living outdoors.
Yeah.
It's kind of an unfair advantage. And my basic takeaway from this video was that there are a lot of – it's like the whole you get more flies with honey than with vinegar. It's you could do the same task – with far less odious action. Like the cop could be giving warnings, even written warnings,
sure.
And saying, hey, just so you know, you're not supposed to do this. But he did kind of seem like a dick. So anyways, if you want to see that video, it's up.
Was it also a case of where, like, the guy on the beach cruiser knew the law and the cop actually did not? Or
I think so.
Yeah.
It seemed that way. The guy's pretty educated. It's good. And if you really want to find out what happened, there's two more videos. One of him in front of the courthouse talking about his first court appearance to deal with this traffic ticket he got from the motorcycle cop. And the second one kind of explaining how it all fell out. So, yeah. Pretty great.
I also hear that you can get more honey by being fly. More honey by being fly?
Than you would with vinegar?
You have one of those, right?
Well, yeah. Do you want it?
Yes,
okay,
please.
All right, then.
Here it is.
But the joke. Next up, Logan mentions CEO of Japan Airlines who took a pay cut and rides the bus to empathize with workers who were forced to retire early.
Yes.
Reminded us of Jose Mujica, Uruguayan president who lives small and picks up hitchhikers.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the name of the Uruguayan president, and it came up with this other news story about him picking up a hitchhiker. It's like some guy's out just thumbing a ride, and guy stops, picks him up, puts him in his Volkswagen Beetle.
It's the lowest paid head of state in the world.
Holy shit, you're the president of Uruguay. So anyways, that was pretty cool as well. And we're also talking about the CEO of Japan Airlines who, Logan sent this to me because it was a guy, the first clip of him is him getting off the bus going to work.
That's
and
awesome.
He's a goddamn CEO, which is great.
This is something I think all CEOs all over the world, but especially here in the States, could maybe pick up as a habit when we talk about like, oh, we're losing profits. What do we do? It looks like we're going to cut the retirement. Maybe there's other things you can do, CEO.
It's those damn bus drivers, man. They're right. Taking too many benefits.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now I'll give myself a bonus.
That's it.
For cutting them benefits. Next up, a friend reminds Brock of Tom Allen's beer can stove.
Yes. He's got a fantastic instructional video. Have either of you guys seen how to make a beer can stove?
Yes.
Yeah. I have not.
It involves a knife and a beer can. And that's it. You fill it with alcohol, and then you light it on fire, and then you make coffee outside.
That's right.
Yeah.
Many
so,
crazy things.
Yeah, this is pretty great.
Like, you just, the empty beer can, you just pour
it. Yeah, it's like you're compressing it. You cut it into two pieces, and then you create the convection necessary to burn alcohol.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
Down the middle. And
I tried to build one once.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't work.
How'd it go? Oh.
Okay. I've never tried it, but I kind of want to now.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it's free, and it's a beer can.
Well, it's in quotes free.
Well, yeah, okay. So you got to buy the beer can.
It's DIY.
And then you lose your deposit because you're not like you're not recycling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like an extra nickel.
But
yeah,
you still should put that in the recycling bin.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Craft night.
Ooh, yes.
Beers.
Indeed.
We have to finish the beers first.
Okay.
Then we make the thing.
There we go.
Band-aids for everyone.
We got, yes.
This Full circle.
Call back to last episode.
Next up, this week's shift list, Hallie Weaver explains bike resistance from potential employers.
We need to get her on the show sometime because she's got great ideas.
Is that, that's not Bikeleptic.
I believe
Twitter.
So.
That is.
I believe okay. so. Yeah,
I,
she also
I
has.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
A problem with blinky bike lights.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the thing that she was, this is, again, it wasn't sent to us as mail, but it comes from the shift list, which comes into my email. So basically, it's about a guy who was trying to get a job at a bakery, and the bakery said, hey, you've got, you don't have reliable transportation because all you do is ride a bike.
Yep.
So she says it's illegal for them to ask, do you have a car, unless the job specifically requires driving. It is, or maybe a driver's license. It's illegal to, or it is legal, sorry, to ask, are you able to get to all four counties for your job, or do you have reliable transportation? So you don't want to over-explain to the potential employer. You don't want to make them feel dumb. But in the future, don't even mention that you ride a bike in the first place unless they ask. If they ask about reliable transportation, you say yes. If they ask for you to elaborate, then you say, I prefer to travel by bike, but I have a plan B for adverse weather conditions, like a taxi or fenders or rain gear or whatever. So, whatever it takes for you to get there. But it is kind of tricky sometimes to negotiate with potential employers when they want to make sure you're going to get there and they don't understand that you are an all-seasons bicyclist. So, yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
Next up from Josh G., who joined us on the Team Sincerity ride.
President's Day ride, yes. Worst President's Day ever.
sends us a question on presidential trivia, and I'm surprised I didn't find this out when I was looking.
Oh, true. This is one of the facts you did not.
Yeah. Well, I was looking into too much, two odd things, too many different odd things, like
Taft.
Which president like to expose himself to other heads of state?
Oh, yeah, not Taft.
Hey,
not Taft.
It's Roosevelt.
Hint,
isn't it?
It's in the name. Next, from Josh G., which president was a big-time cycle tourist?
Johnson.
It was Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Really?
Yes.
No way. That guy does not. But then again, I don't either.
You never met him.
We'll talk later.
That's true.
Yeah.
So Josh sends us a question. Which president was a big-time cycle tourist? That could have been our contest for Spin Lister.
Ooh, true.
But then I would not be able to read the rest of this.
Right.
Woodrow Wilson. Huh. England's rural roads of late 1890s were mostly covered in tightly compacted small stones, the macadam system, and by and large were far superior to the roads Wilson would have been used to in America. His cycle tours in Europe would have impressed on him the need for better roads, the clamor for which was led by the Cyclist Touring Club in Britain and the League of American Wheelmen in the U.S.
Which is pretty awesome.
And he also sends us a news clip.
Yeah, we've got a little clip from the paper there. I like especially the illustration, which just has a bunch of guys riding bikes and big dust clouds coming up behind them. The other thing that Josh sent in was that President's Day used to be Bicycle Day. Because I want to say at some point it was mandated for many businesses to be closed, but bicycle shops got some exemption to that. And so people would go out, kind of like the President's Day auto sales of today. People go out and buy themselves new bicycles on President's Day.
Oh, we got to revive that tradition.
That's really cool.
Damn straight. Yeah, go out. That's another.
Here we go.
Next President's Day, go out and buy yourself a goddamn bicycle. So.
Wait, did you guys know
that was like the surliest call to action you've ever done?
I think I am. I'm starting to feel surly. My bad.
That's all right. Next
I should
up,
get myself
Daniel
a little
drops.
Hall trucker.
Yes. Yes, you should. Next up, Daniel drops. Let me read the mail, damn it. Daniel drops the gauntlet to Alaska with Fraser Cunningham's minus 10 degrees Cincinnati commute. He also mentions the YMCA San Antonio, Texas Cyclovia, March 29th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah. Cyclovia happening in San Antonio, Texas is an awesome idea because you don't think of that happening in Texas.
That's a great idea.
Unless it was in Austin. And it's not. It's in San Antonio. So there's that. But then Fraser Cunningham, this guy, he's got the ice beard, kind of like our listener does.
The Beardsicle Chronicles.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he also has, I want to say, like an Irish accent or something, but he lives in Cincinnati. Go figure. I would like to think that he and Phil would be friends.
Yeah, maybe the two should, like,
maybe
tour
should,
to each other's states.
They should fat bike. Well, they're so similar because they have the ice beard, they have fat bikes, they ride in ridiculously cold conditions.
Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe, like, you know, when they meet, it's like same matter, same space.
Ooh, like magnetic poles?
Yeah.
Like they would repel each other. Maybe they don't like each other.
Or it would cause a, like, fusion reaction that would then domino
a singularity?
Effect. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, look out. Yeah, so the event horizon is going to be somewhere between Alaska and Cincinnati.
No.
The question from the Oregon driver's license test.
Yeah. Wasn't able to put that in our, like, the picture itself in our notes.
Oh, right.
Did we talk about it?
You know, we recorded a clip about it.
Let's still talk about this.
Let's talk about this.
So I don't have it here, so I can't necessarily reference it, but Anna sent me, and I'm passing it along to everybody, a picture.
By extension, us.
Yeah. A picture of her. She's getting her Oregon driver's license.
Hooray.
Her practice test, one of the questions, she sent a screenshot of it. Was if you are overcoming a bicyclist on the road and there's oncoming traffic, what do you do as a driver? And there were several examples, four choices. I think I mentioned all four of which actually happened to me. The least frequent of which is the actual right thing you're supposed to do.
Which is like slow.
Slow down, wait for traffic to pass and clear so that it is safe to pass the cyclists.
Pass a bicyclist like you would pass a semi-truck.
Drivers, wait for traffic to clear. Slow the fuck down.
That's right.
There, how's that for a surly
call to action?
It's that time of night.
Just getting angrier and angrier.
That's right.
Next up, Eric Iverson. and Paul from yesterday mentions quiet zones for rail crossings. There's going to be a lot fewer trains on the show,
although
folks.
We did just get a horn.
Yeah.
So it's also dark outside.
You saw my
now.
Face like freak out.
What the fuck?
What?
Yeah, no, I think they've...
Oh, look, the lights are going. And they're... So I'm assuming there's a train either having just crossed or going to cross.
Yeah, we're looking out the window here at the studio. And I think the lights maybe just always are on now as a caution. So that, like, as you cross the tracks, you notice, oh, yes, these are uncontrolled tracks.
That would be bad. Because then you just get used to those lights always being there.
Maybe, yeah. Well, the thing that's happening that we know about is quiet rail zones. This studio is located near one, which means that they're not going to be sounding their horns every time they pass.
That familiar sound that you all got familiar with.
Yes. If you like the train sound.
Thank you. Yeah. You're the writer.
It's a good thing we had literary types in here tonight. Yeah. So anyways, if you like the train, maybe you'll hear less of it. If you didn't like the train, it's gone.
It's gone.
Maybe, except, well, maybe not. Anyways, let fewer horns than you used to be. I think the longer the days get, probably the fewer horns we'll hear because it'll be light outside. So anyways.
Next up, Johnny K. We haven't featured you in a while, but thanks for
coming. But we love you, Johnny K.
Thanks for continuing to write in. While these are not socks, they are insoles and may fit what you guys wanted. And this is in reference to having
electric
warm
socks.
Feet or electric socks. Yeah. Yes. Thewarmingstore.com, which I think is a great website.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Thermacell heated insoles.
Yep. A bit on the pricey side, but hey, if you ask for it, the internet provides.
It's true.
What I thought was cool about them is that they're USB chargeable and has a remote control to control the heat. Anyways, here are other insoles for the socks as well. This website has all kinds of heated this and that. It's a shame I didn't find this in the fall.
Seriously, me too. I love the idea, though. I like having remote controls for your feet. So if your feet get cold, you're like, I'll just turn up the heat on my insoles. Yeah. And if your feet get too warm, then, yeah, well, you turn down the heat. Yeah. That's a good idea.
It's like those pump shoes, but like more electronic.
It's like Heat Jordans.
Yeah.
The Jordan Heats.
Oh, that's lovely.
Heat Jordans.
Next up, Eric says, I am so excited to hear that Aaron will be taking on his first wheel building project soon.
Ooh.
After fearing the process for a few years myself, a desire for a combination of hub rim spokes not readily available online drove me to undertake my own wheel set building a year and a half ago, since I didn't want to pay LBS prices to have it done for me.
Local bike shop.
Ah, yes. Despite the fact that I am solidly in the Clydesdale category of cyclists.
That's ungenerous.
Plus, both wheels are still holding up after about 6,000 miles of riding on the streets and trails of the D.C. area.
6,000.
Better, in fact, than any wheel set I bought before. So it can be done successfully even the first time. Sweet. I'm sure you've come across these guides already, but if not, they may be helpful to you and your listeners. Both are commonly referred to free online equivalents of Wheel Building for Dummies. They were my guide for the entire process and a great resource. Enjoy the wheel building process. In the end, you'll have something you can be proud of saying you built yourself.
Yeah, and we got those two links. Yeah, one is Sheldon Brown, which we revere.
Sheldon is my co-pilot.
Seriously.
I wish you could pour one for Sheldon Brown.
We're pouring.
Oh, pour a drink for him? Yeah. Well, consider it done. Yeah.
In my body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lastly, Dave says, I love your work. A quick question, though. Oh, yeah. I love this one.
Yes.
You make reference to periodically using earbuds while biking, catching up on podcasts, etc. Maybe this is an old topic for discussion, but isn't it best practice to listen to the road while on the bike? Maybe it's been overly discussed, but I thought I'd make mention of it. And I will say, Yes, you are right.
Yes.
You should be listening
you
to the road.
You should listen to the road.
Yeah. And this is maybe my concession, and I'm not saying it's again, like,
yeah.
Don't take my advice as advice.
We are not trained professionals.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't
do
tell
not,
you what to do.
Do not do this at home. Even when I tell you what to do, you might want to still take that. Listen, when I tell you what to do.
No, I think what I realize is that there's a big difference. Like, there are many ways to listen to anything through headphones or earphones. Like, you've got over-the-ear phones like we're using now. These would be the
Which
least safe option
yeah.
on the street. I would say you probably shouldn't wear anything over your ears.
Well, let's just do this. Most safe to least safe.
Okay.
Most safe.
Most safe.
No earbuds. No headphones.
Right.
Whatsoever.
Yep.
Totally agree with that.
Listen
and
to the
do
breeze.
Occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah. I did that today on the way to the studio.
Yeah.
Felt good.
And it honestly places you in your surroundings.
Yeah. And it's better for your earwax buildup.
Also true. For real?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The compacting and such.
I have experience.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, though, about using, like, having one earbud in and one
That is
not?
My practice.
Because that's what I do,
the
too.
One, the roadside ear is always open.
So this would be moving on to, like the next...
Moving on.
Oh, sorry.
Probably towards danger.
Not quite. Yeah, moving towards danger. A little less safe, if you so deem, to listen to music, podcasts, etc. Having an earbud in that... Still having one ear roadside ear,
so you've got like
especially
earbud in podcast or curbside in,
yes,
and roadside free. No earbud there,
yeah,
okay.
And I would say I wouldn't suggest anything beyond that,
right?
But I mean,
earbuds in with music, bad idea in my opinion.
It's a free country,
yeah.
You do you,
right? Well, and only you as a writer know how your body and brain work.
Yeah,
and you know like when you can hear the road and when you can tell if someone's coming up behind you or not.
Much in the same way, like I would never tell anybody not to wear a helmet.
Sure.
Yet I don't generally wear a helmet.
You don't often wear a helmet.
I don't
right.
often wear a helmet.
Right.
I do occasionally still wear a helmet.
Right. And so we're saying like do whatever makes you feel safe and know your limits and do what will protect you best. Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of music. I mostly listen to talk, and I listen to it in one ear.
That seems to be a lot less distracting.
Yeah, and yeah. that cuts the effect of riding my commute every day, which is like an hour long. That makes it go by much quicker. It gives me something to think about. Sometimes I have thoughts I want to think about on my own, what like today, and so I did. But, yeah.
As a form of confession.
Oh.
Confession.
Yes, my son.
Father Green.
I have found that listening to music, even in just one ear, just like walking around, still somewhat deafens the other ear.
Yeah.
And so being aware of that, like having that awareness has caused me to kind of regulate my volume
dial it
a little
back.
Bit more, dial it back,
turn it down.
I still like music way too much
turn
to,
down that
to
damn
just,
noise
to just ban it altogether. But
yeah,
actually I ride with two headphones in and the volume dial back way down,
so you like volume one or something like that.
Yeah, it's like
two buds.
I can't hear anything if there's anything next to me. So I barely hear anything that I listen to.
Well, yeah. Especially here in Portland, I've noticed that a lot of people will actually play music from their backpack, like on a speaker.
Like through the air?
Like a boombox type thing.
Yeah,
like the Bluetooth.
Or something that's on their rack or a pannier or something like that.
That's fine and dandy, except not everybody needs to hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That is
and
true.
I don't
you
know.
Crossing
that's,
some lines.
To me, that's the equivalent of like, you know, blasting your speakers in your car.
Which is fun.
And I know...
But not respectful.
I'm old and cantankerous, but... But again, like, it's music you are listening to for your enjoyment. Like, I may or may not enjoy the same music and really don't care. Like, there is a thing called noise pollution for a reason. Like...
Pollute your own noise.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been on kind of a tear of like opinionating.
I like it. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Well, hey, this has been a good show. Thank you, everybody, for all your mail. Sorry it took us so long to get to it. But I think we addressed most of our mail.
Hope it was worth the wait, everybody.
Who knows?
I'm sure it was.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you again, Aarons.
Yes. Thanks for having
us. Non-standard Aarons.
Yes.
Supplementary Aarons. No, that's not generous. What I mean is we're so glad you were here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, hey, thank you all for listening to a doubleheader of the Sprocket Podcast in an already two
this
episode
has been
week.
Side B.
Yes. This is like the Sprocket cubed. It's like three episodes a week.
Yeah.
This might be
we're
the most...
We're spoiling you guys, by the way.
Yeah, the most content we've ever given at
you guys
one
are going
time.
Crazy, man.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
Oh,
right?
I mean, we've had such wonderful
legendary
people as guests.
Never turned down an opportunity. Well, shall we get out of this place?
Let's do this.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or Twitter 2503-847-9774.
Or text us at sprocketpodcast.
I just said call or Twitter. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurtburn for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for our graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubisch, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister, Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose,
Lars V., Chris Smith, and Christy Kaster.
And Caleb in the UK. See you, everybody. Bye-bye. Brush your teeth. Go to bed. Then we'll take a break, then we'll do some more mail, and then we'll wrap up with you.
Oh.
Or wait, no. Maybe we'll wrap up with you and then we'll do more mail. Anyways. So
I have no idea what I'm doing here.
That's exactly why we had to wait.
That should be our intro.
Are there things we're not supposed to say?
No.
Or?
Fuck no.
Okay.
I mean,
there are no language restrictions.
Okay.
We don't.
What about like people's names?
Boopie.
I don't know.
It's Boopie. Really it's whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Okay.
Like if you think something could come back to bite you later, you shouldn't say that.
I mean, there are I guess there are libel laws. You
right.
know?
Yeah, but I think that's on you, not on us as the distributor.
That's
so,
true.
That's true.
Yeah.
True.
Because we'll disagree with you if we think it's libel.
My views don't reflect the views of my employer. Just saying.
There we go. So you need to put that disclaimer out there right at first.
Yeah.
You're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.